We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
You know, there's this point in time where he asks a question, or she's saying, she talks about the path two times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the first time she's like, I forget what she says. Here, go back on it. And it's before the second. Play it in regular speed.
Let me play the one I have, the original, at regular speed. It is right here. All right, let's take a look.
See, this is the path.
See, I'm not hearing the rocks crunching on yours either.
I am.
Oh, you are?
And that's it. It's just there's a rock crunching, but they're trying to debate how to get down the thing, down the hill. And then he goes, "Hey guys, down the hill?" Almost like are you trying to figure out how to get down the hill? I mean, again, I don't get anything out of that where it's like he's trying to pressure them to go down the hill. It just seems like somebody passing by and like, "Oh yeah, down the hill, you know, path is over there, you know, whatever." It doesn't seem incriminating to me.
And that's the thing where I'm talking about, like in that one portion where she starts talking about the path first, that's where Tony Liggett at trial testified that he claims that he hears, that be a gun.
It's not, that's not in there. I know. I listen. Oh, there's nothing in there that says that.
Right. And what I've heard is she'll say something about the path and there's a pause. And then the question is that Abby who says something or is that Libby finishing what she's saying?
Yeah.
And then she talks about the path again. So I
don't know. I watch this and I see nothing. I don't even know why there's this everybody's stuck on this being the murderer. Like, I don't know. Like, it's the only piece that they have from the last moments that the girls were alive. But it doesn't mean that the guy in that video is the killer. I that seems like a very far reach that was made very early on that was simply just accepted and nobody really questioned it a whole lot. And I get kind of why the way it was presented to the public as this guy is telling them to go down the hill. He's not. They're talking about how to get down the hill before the guy even gets close enough for them to hear him. They're the ones that want to go down the hill.
So you're saying guys is just like, hey, like,
hey guys,
because they say hi.
Yeah.
It and seems then like he says,
yeah, just a pleasant, you're just passing somebody on the woods and you see two girls that look kind of confused and they're trying to figure out where to get to their trail, which appears to be exactly what's happening. And if you know the trails and you walk around there, and they're, you know, hey guys, they're like looking down there. Yeah. Down the hill.
I mean, it certainly doesn't sound nefarious.
No, it doesn't.
And people are like, oh, they sound terrified. I'm like, I'm not
hearing
that.
They don't. They sound like, hey, oh, the path isn't over here. That I would not, if I knew nothing about this case and somebody showed me that video, I'd be like, and? What am I watching here? Two girls hiking and a guy? I mean, creepy looking bridge. But
and that's what I'm seeing. Like when it gets out there that law enforcement is saying that they hear her saying, that be a gun. Like that begins to be the thing that you think you hear.
And I, yeah.
And it's like, you know what the brain works. It's like that. Right. Exactly. It's like that Yanny Laurel thing.
Yeah.
Remember that thing like 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Like Allison hears Yanny and I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't hear anything even remotely close. It's clearly Laurel.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just like, I don't know, man.
It's how our
now
brains
that
work.
It's out.
Yeah.
Now that it's out, there's going to be people that know a hell of a lot more about, you know, audiophiles are going to be working to clean that up as much as humanly possible, doing the work that should have been done on this audio by law enforcement over the past 7 years.
I'm going to play with it too. I haven't had a chance to do it yet, but we're going to put it into Audition and really try and massage this thing down. I just don't see where this, other than let's tell the public this, they edited the damn video. They moved the audio to a different place of where it is. And in the original, in the 6 second clip, to put down the hill at a very ominous place in the video where it just isn't. That to me is like, why are you doing that? If you're going to release just the little clip of the guy, then just release a little clip of the guy. If you want the part where you hear him saying something, then release the whole damn thing. But then you'd also have to contextually take out the two girls not sounding remotely worried or scared, and them actually being the first ones who are trying to figure out how to get down the hill before the guy even says anything. It's just, they worked it. They completely flipped this video around, presented it in a different way. The public went going, oh gosh, this is horrible. And it's not at all. It's like just editing a promo to make something sound like spookier. You're more intrigued by it. You can edit anything to make things sound worse than they actually are. And that's exactly what appears to have happened in this video.
100%.
I am
baffled.
And
it's like, why aren't they like, why did they elect to only put out that 3 second clip of just him instead of the whole video?
Well, and you're trying, especially in a case that took years to finally go after anybody and get charges. Wouldn't you be putting out anything you could in its entirety for anybody to take a look at and go, what can we make sense of? But if they put it out just in that little way, that creates a different narrative. And it makes it makes this guy look a hell of a lot more ominous than he actually is. And again, the guy looks like Ron Logan. If you compare the gait and everything to him, he doesn't appear to be Richard Allen at all, as from what you can tell. And again, you can't completely say it's Ron Logan, but we've shown the graphics before side by side, and they're pretty compelling. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me, other than, again, another piece in this case that looks like it's been manipulated for another reason. And I don't know what that reason is, other than
it's just another mystery. In this case, that's full of them, you know, it's like, and so in, you know, in related news, Judge Gull has denied the final two motions.
Shocking.
That were filed by the defense, which was the motion to preserve and produce. And then, of course, the motion to reconsider, the motion to correct errors. So that, and as of today, the notice of appeal has been filed, and the clerk has filed the notice of completion of the court's records. So the appeal's up and running. It's now officially out of Judge Gull's hands up and until, if they're granted a new trial, then in theory, she would be sitting on the judge unless the appellate court says, well, we're going to kick it back, but this time we're going to use a different judge.
Does the appellate court have the authority to do that? Or let me ask you that question. They do? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If they think that the judge, just made some critical errors, I mean, the appellate court could seek to have it tried in front of another judge.
It wouldn't necessarily automatically go back to Gull, and she wouldn't have the opportunity to recuse herself. It would just simply be, we're getting a different judge. It's not your choice anymore.
Well, if the opinion is silent as to like her trying it or her overseeing it again, then she's the judge.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be up to her as to whether or not she's going to do it again.
Sure.
You know,
time window and something like this, now that that's been filed, where does that go?
Well, the next step is the the brief, Alan's brief has to be prepared. They have to get the full record, meaning all the exhibits put together, which I'm sure they're working furiously on right now. Mm-hmm. And once that is done, and I'm sure that appellate counsel is already working on their brief. They're working on identifying all the issues. They do that by going through the transcripts of all the hearings and the trial. They identify the issues that they think exist. They put together their brief. That will probably take a few months, 3, 4, 5 months. There are deadlines, but they usually can get extensions. And once they get it done, the response brief is due. And then, after that, there may be a reply brief. But once the court is fully briefed, then they start reading through it, and they'll decide if they want oral arguments or not. And if they do, there'll be a date set for oral arguments. I've heard that in Indiana, the range is anywhere from 12 to 18 months.
So hopefully he stays alive in jail or in prison for at least 12 to 18 months.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key.
That's
because the appeal goes away if he dies.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
So messed up. So messed up. If you were listening to this and you want to see the video itself, you can check out our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and watch everything that we were talking about, and be sure to hit subscribe there or wherever you're listening right now so you don't miss any of the updates on this case, because it's not going away anytime soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.